Amen. Thank you. You may be seated this evening. We're going to find ourselves in the book of Luke chapter 2. And as you're turning there, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever made any plan ever to have it fall apart? That's what's happened to Ginger and I this Christmas. We had a plan and it fell apart horribly. We had her mom done for Christmas. As a matter of fact, she had something that she wanted so bad that she researched it. And if you know my mother-in-law, that doesn't happen, okay? She had something she wanted. She read reviews. She looked at different ones. She wanted a smokeless indoor grill. Never heard of a smokeless indoor grill before, but that's what she wanted. And so Ginger's dad calls her and says, the one she wants more than the other two, because she had it down to two, but the one that she was really thinking was the best one is on sale at Kohl's. And if you don't go and get it, I'm going to buy it for her. And we said, that's great. If she wants it that much, we're going to pick it up. We're going to get it for her. And we'll go down and do that. As a matter of fact, we're going to go do that tomorrow. Don't worry about it. We've got it. And so we get up. We go to Kohl's. We buy smokeless indoor grill. Take it home, resting easy, gonna give her a gift she really, really wants this Christmas. Until a couple of days ago. Oh yeah, you know where this is going already, right? I mean, I don't have to, the premise of plans falling apart lets you know the whole story, right? Ginger calls her parents, trying to work out a few Christmas details. And they're like, oh, we just got back from shopping. Okay. Yeah. She was talking to her dad. Your mom just bought a smokeless indoor grill from Kohl's. Oh. Yes. The exact same smokeless grill that we had already purchased for her is the one that she bought. Why? Well, my father-in-law went, oh, I forgot. Yeah, I did. But needless to say, just a few days ago, we had to return to Kohl's a smokeless indoor grill and start over, trying to find her something that she'll really want. It was a good plan, but it fell apart. Sometimes good plans fall apart. Sometimes they don't go as planned. And sometimes they'll even go horribly wrong. And I think it's safe to say that we've all been there before. At one point or another in our lives, we've made a good plan. It should work. And not only should work, but it should work well, only to find that our plan has not just fallen apart, but been broken up in pieces. Now, you might not have had a mother-in-law that has went shopping before Christmas. Well, maybe you have, I don't know, but that's all right. But we've probably all have been there at some point in time where we know what it feels like to have a good plan, a well-thought-out plan, a hard-work plan that we worked long and hard for just come apart. And when that happens, do we think that something didn't go right? Do we think that we didn't plan something right? It has to be an error on our part. Or do we ever stop to consider that God might actually have a different plan or a path for us to walk down? Well, that latter one is something that sometimes we don't consider, but it actually is something that maybe we should, because that's exactly what happened this first Christmas. And realize, there was a whole other plan that was happening before what happened took place, what we're going to read tonight. Well, let's just jump in and see what's going on. Let's look at what happened in Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse number 1. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for the census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judah, David's ancient home. And he traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. And he took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was now obviously pregnant. Now, again, the Bible isn't flattery. If she is obviously pregnant, it means she's due any time. And that was the situation. And let's talk about bad timing here, right? Because someone that Joseph and Mary didn't know changed all of their plans. I mean, think about that. Some guy named Augustus issued a decree. Well, why would that have to make him move? Why would that have to make him do anything? Well, Augustus was the Caesar at that time, the Roman emperor. And if the Roman emperor wanted to do something, guess what? You were going to do it. It's just how it worked back then, especially if Rome was in control, which they were. Now, we know what a census is because we have them here in our country. It's accounting. It's what we look at to say that, oh, there's so many people in this group and so many people in this area. But, well, in the Roman Empire, they did count you. I want you to understand what it really was. The census was a tax event. Oh, yes, they counted you. Oh, there are so many people from this province, but they made sure that when they counted you, that you paid Caesar what was due him. So it was a tax event. And yes, they were going to count you, and you had to pay for it. And because of that, because Augustus wanted a tax day, he needed more revenue in for some of his plans, and because of that, everyone had to travel. You had to go back to the place that you were born, that your family was from. And even though Joseph and Mary were living in Nazareth, because they were both from Bethlehem, they both had to travel there. And it didn't matter if Mary was due soon. Rome didn't care about that. They couldn't go down to the county tax office and pay there. No, they had to travel from Galilee down to Nazareth, or Bethlehem. From Galilee and Nazareth and Galilee all the way down to Bethlehem. With a pregnant woman, it was a multiple-day journey. It wasn't easy. It was a long trip from the northern end of Israel to the southern part of it. And that was what they had to do. And Joseph and Mary had to go to their hometown to register. And I can guarantee you that this wasn't their plan. This wasn't what they expected. This wasn't what they thought they were going to have to experience or endure or go through. As a matter of fact, I don't think any of that was happening. I think they felt that their plans were all being ruined, that their plans were all being broken apart, that their plans for what they were going to do with Jesus was falling apart right in front of them. And to make matters worse, look at what happens when they get to town in verse number 6. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. And she gave birth to her first child, a son. And she wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. Now let's ask this question. Who would have planned this to happen? Because I guarantee you Joseph and Mary didn't plan this. Not in the least. None of us would have written the script this way. None of us would have made an idea for God to have his son come in this way. That the Messiah be born without fanfare? Who would have thought that to be the case? This is God putting on flesh, stepping from heaven to earth. Who would have written that he would have just came quietly and silently in a stable? Laid to rest in a manger? The Son of God's first bed on earth was an animal's feeding trough? How clean are those? Right? That's not anybody's plan. Here's your newborn. Wrap him up. Feeding trough will do. Right? You moms out there, you wouldn't, unless you had to. This wasn't anybody's plan. They had to have their newborn in a stable because that's where mangers were. They were kept in the place where you kept animals because that way when you brought them in, it's where you fed them. It's where you took care of them. This was a place that was telling us that they weren't in some place nice. And if they weren't in some place nice, that means we can also say, who knows where Joseph and Mary were sleeping? Or what they were sleeping on or in because they were in a stable. Their child was resting in a manger. The newborn Son of God. And this leaves us asking a really good question. God had a plan? Did he? Because does this sound like God had a plan to anyone? That they'd come into town and the town would be so full of people that his son wouldn't even be able to be born anywhere nice, but in a stable? It doesn't sound like planning on our part. This doesn't sound good, and it definitely doesn't sound hopeful, but yet this is exactly what God planned for his son. Listen to what it says in Micah chapter 5 and verse number 2. But you, O Bethlehem, are only a small village among the people of Judah. Yet a ruler of Israel whose origins are in the distant past will come for you on my behalf. And just so everyone's on the same page, this means that God planned for Jesus to be born here. He planned for his son to be born not in Nazareth, but in Bethlehem. Not in Nazareth where they had a home. Not in Nazareth where they had a bed. Not in Nazareth where Joseph the carpenter probably built his newborn child a nice bed out of wood and not in a stone trough. But God had a plan to move them from there to here. And I want you to see that he didn't just plan it. God orchestrated everything to happen just as it did. God used a Roman official to move Joseph and Mary to just the right place and at just the right time. He knew the town would be overflowing with people, and yes, he planned for his son to enter into the world this way, meek and humble, so that everyone who saw it would know that that's who he really was, meek, humble, and loving. And yes, even though we have a hard time with Jesus laying down in a manger as a bed, God didn't. And that's why I have two other verses that you really need to hear today. Two other verses that actually speak to things that we need to grasp and understand this Christmas. The first is found in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number 9. It says, "We can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps." So just so I can restate it for the record, we can make our plans, but God determines our steps. It sounds so simple, and yet it's so profound all at the same time. Now, we talked last Sunday about this profound and amazing plan of God, the plan that he had to have this happen and take place, to do this before the world ever began, before ever one aspect of the world was created, before he ever said, "Let there be light," that he had you and me on his mind, that he had his plan all formed out, that he had his plan ready to happen and take place. God planned everything to happen just as it did. Even if his plan took 4,000 years for Jesus to arrive on this earth, his plan was going to happen because of his love for us and his desire for us to be with him for all eternity. And as we begin to understand that, we can grasp that he's thought of us and loved us long before we ever knew who he was. And that means with this verse, we have to understand something this evening. See, we'll put it this way, all right, ready? This is how we would say it. We might want something to happen one way, but God will do what he knows is best for us. Now, I know I'm not the only one who's ever came up with a good idea. No, a great idea. Let's call it what it is. I know I am not the only one who has ever had a great idea, a marvelous idea, light bulb, angel singing idea. Only to see that God had other plans. You see, he determines our steps. That means he moves us in the way that he thinks is best. God will determine what will happen to us. And that means that things will not always go as we think they should. Now let me say that again, because that's a big one. Just because we have a good idea doesn't mean God is bound to do our good idea. And sometimes we get mad at him when he doesn't do our good idea. Okay, let me say that again. I've done that before. So I know other people have as well. We do. Sometimes we can get mad at God because he doesn't do our good idea. I mean, could you imagine Mary and Joseph? What was going through their mind and their hearts? Joseph, it's so close. Why do we have to travel? I don't know, Mary, but we do. But things won't always go as the way we think they should. But I want you to know this evening that they will always go according to his plan. Again, he orders and determines our steps, what path we will take and what way we will go, what doors will be open and what doors will be closed. He allows all of those things to happen to us. And that's why I have the second verse that we need to hear this evening. It's found in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29 and verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. And yes, I can say today that God has a plan for us. And even though we might have to go through some pretty bad stuff, because sometimes God allows us to walk through valleys and shadows, I want you to know today that his plan is good. I would have never written brain surgery into my story. It wasn't good, but yet it was all at the same time. And it doesn't mean that his plan might not be hard. I'm sorry, nobody wants to go through anything hard. We like the Disney ending, right? Right off into the sunset and live happily ever after. No more problems, no more heartaches, no more pain, no more hardship. That's what we think we should have. But sometimes God, in his will for us, allows us to go through something difficult. And just like you'll hear from a trainer, spiritually it's true as well, the hard times actually make us stronger. Amen. Sometimes there's things that we have to go through to shave off some things from our lives. Sometimes we have to grow through things so that we can get strength to endure something else that's coming. Sometimes God orchestrates things for us just so that we can grow in him and that our faith in him can grow because he knows a better way than what we think. And I want you to understand that his plan will always give us a future. He's thinking of that. We have a tendency to think here and now. Right here, right now, Lord. This is where I'm at. This is what I need. But I want you to know that he has a plan that is longer range than ours. His plan is so much longer range than ours. Because we're thinking about things that are going to happen tonight or tomorrow or the next day. And while, yes, he's concerned about what you go through today and tomorrow and the next day, but he has a bigger concern for you. He wants to have you there with him forever. His goal is to get you to eternity, to be with him. And if he has to lead you to go through this so that you'll look up, he's going to lead you through it. And if he has to lead you through this so that you can learn to hold on and have strength, he's going to take you through it. He's going to lead us places because his goal for us is to be with him forever. And I want you to also understand that his plan will give us hope. No matter what we have to face while we're here, we have to know and understand that as we walk through this life, sometimes even through the valley of the shadow of death, that we will not have to fear because our God is with us. He's here helping us each and every step of the way. But that brings me to another good question this evening. Because what if our life felt like what was going on with Mary and Joseph's? Would we trust God and his plan for our lives? Because obviously not every plan that we're going to make for ourselves is going to happen. And if you haven't discovered that yet, I'm sorry, not every plan you make for your life is going to happen the way you think it should. There's going to be things that we'll go through that's going to impact our lives. There's going to be things that we are going to have to go through that we would never write into our stories ourselves. But do we have to understand God's plan for us before we can trust him? No, we don't. He just wants us to trust him. He just wants us to know that when we place our life in his hands, he's never going to drop us. He's never going to let us go. And he's never going to let us experience something that's going to go beyond his will for us. We might not like it, But he's always going to be there with us. My dog, because it's Christmas, got a bath today. Technically, she needed that bath. Just saying. Did she like her bath? No. My one will stand there and put up with it, doesn't like it, but will endure it, get this over with, get me out, and I will get on the other. But the new one, uh-uh. You put it in the tub, it's trying to jump out of the tub. You put it in, and it wants out. And it's a schnauzer that knows how to grab with its hand. So when you put your arm in, it's grabbing your arm and will hold on for dear life, and it's... We get almost as wet as the dog does trying to give her a bath. She doesn't like her bath. But we're there with her. We try to calm her down. We try to help her. Even though she doesn't understand it, it's good for her. Really good for her and us. But at the same time, it's not easy for her to go through because she doesn't like it. And we know that, so we try to be as loving with her as possible. And God does the same with us. And that leads me to the next question. Do we really believe that God is going to do something good? When we go through those hard times, when we face things that we wouldn't have planned for ourselves, do we really think that God is going to look at our hearts and our lives and do something good? Because remember, that's what it said in Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. And this evening, could Mary and Joseph believe it? What about you? Do you see the good in this event? And just in case, let's look at it. The good that God is doing here. And just so we're not overwhelmed by the surroundings of the story, I want you to see that the Messiah was born. God just stepped out of eternity and put on flesh. And it was his grand plan and design to come to personally do something wonderful for you and for me. Not because we deserved it, but because he loved us so much and he cared for you so deeply that he wanted to impact your life. The Messiah was just born. And he came with that reason, knowing what it said in the book of Isaiah, that he will be crushed so that we can live in his goodness. This was the good that was going to happen. Us to be able to change. Us to be able to be forgiven. Us to be able to live with him forever. Even though it would be 33 years before he paid for our sins with his own life, just the fact that Jesus is here shows us the love and the plan that he had set forward. And speaking of his plan will give us a future. The fact that we have grace, mercy, and forgiveness all starts with this event. This was the good that was coming for us, that we could know forgiveness. And I want you to see that his plan will give us hope. He wants us to know that we can trust him. He wants us to know that he's always going to be there for us. He wants us to know and understand that he has a plan. And it might not be what we think. Okay, it probably is seldom what we think. But his plan for us is love and goodness. And his ultimate plan is for you to be with him forever. And it doesn't matter to him what else we have to go through in this life for us to get to that point where we see his hand on us. And I want you to know that he's never, ever going to stop trying. He never gives up. He never stops. He never quits. And that's why we have what we do in the 138th Psalm in verse number 8. It says, the Lord will work out his plan for my life. Your faithful love, O Lord, endures forever. And as we celebrate this Christmas, we see a plan that didn't work out the way Mary and Joseph thought. I don't think Joseph was quoting Mary, Micah 5, all the way down from Galilee to Bethlehem. Oh, that hurt. Why are we doing this? Micah 5. Nope, that didn't happen. I know it didn't happen. But do know this, God had a plan and a purpose, because his will was about to happen. Little did Mary and Joseph know on this wonderful night that God had orchestrated something else thousands of miles away, where there was a group of wise men who started traveling to give them gifts so that they could get out of town before Herod came in and started killing all the kids. Because God had multiple things moving at the same time, because his plan was going to happen and take place. And God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he has a plan for you. These words from the psalm behind me are still real and true. The Lord will work out his plan for your life. We just have to learn to trust him, to look for his plan, to not run when it doesn't go our way. Sometimes we do. But to understand his love, his mercy, and his grace. And sometimes, like today, we need to be reminded that we can trust him. He's still working everything out for good in your life. And all you have to do is trust him with everything, just like Mary and Joseph did. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. And we thank you that you don't let some of our plans happen, because some of our plans are only for the here and now. Some of our plans are only as good as what we know. But you know more. You know what's better. We know our thoughts are not your thoughts, so on those times where we've been upset because you didn't do something our way, forgive us. We've all been there. And Father, give us hope. Give us joy. Even if someone is struggling now with decisions and things that are coming their way, let them know that you are here this Christmas. Let them know that you have a plan. Let them know that that plan is going to be good. That your plan is for them and forever with you. Let them see your love, your grace, and your help in their lives today. So, Father, help us to trust you in your plan, and help us to do your part to seek it, to walk in your ways, to follow your love, to hold onto your hand, and to experience everything you bring our way this Christmas and every day of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.